Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Before I get into my lesson, I have a couple of introductions to make. The first thing I want to do is welcome Barrington and Sydney Harvey. They're placing membership. Can I have you guys stand up? Welcome. I also shared with you earlier in the week that for me, this has been a week of reunions. Last weekend, I was able to see a friend of mine from high school that I hadn't seen in 37 years. I have another friend here this morning that I haven't seen in about 32 years. Believe it or not, when we were in elementary school, he was my best friend. And we would get to school very, very early so we could play what you guys call ping pong, but it was table tennis. And I would get there very early in the morning just to play, and I haven't seen him. We have spoken over the years, but I haven't seen him in person in 32 years. He's here visiting from Minnesota with his daughter and some friends who are actually also here from London. Can I have you guys stand up? Here's my friend Yinka Deomi from when I was a kid. Welcome to Atlanta. Like I also announced last week, this Sunday is going to be the Alfords last Sunday with us. They're going to be moving to the church in Athens. Brother, we love you. We love your family. We are going to miss you, although you're just 1 hour up the road. And I don't know if you could tell this morning as he was singing, he was tearing up. But you are one of my most favorite song leaders in the entire movement. And I'm just thankful that you've been here with us the last 2.5 years. And now you get to go back home. We are truly going to miss you guys. Let's put our hands together for the offers. In church. This morning, Steve spoke to us about the Sermon on the Mount. And we were having breakfast yesterday with the elders and their wives. And, you know, Steve said, oh, tomorrow I'm preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And I smiled. I said, well, I've been studying Matthew 7 from verse 24 all week. And that's what I was going to be talking about. It's always amazing how the Holy Spirit works. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 24. This is Jesus still speaking. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. You know, I toyed around with the title of the lesson this morning. Initially, I was going to title the lesson, Built to Last. And then I changed my mind. And I thought about hearers versus doers. I changed my mind again. I came up with on solid rock. And I changed my mind again. This morning, I actually wrote down, are you really smart? And that's the title of my lesson. Are you really smart? You know, Jesus has been talking in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And basically, verses 24 to 27, Jesus is saying, I said all that to say this. That's what this is. Everything he talked about being blessed. Everything he talked about being the light of the world. About not taking oaths. About our inside and not lusting. About our relationship with God in fasting and praying and helping the needy. About putting God first. He says, you know what? I've said all of that to say this. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, Jesus ends the sermon by telling another story. And again, the goal was to try to encourage people to act upon the things he had just talked about. Remember, when Jesus said this, when he says, these words of mine, he hadn't talked about, go and make disciples of all nations. That came much later. He had just finished talking about what we read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and what you will also find, you will find the Reader's Digest version of it in Luke chapter 6. Same thing. Notice, both men mentioned are builders. Two builders. Not three, not four, not five. Just two. It says, we have a wise builder, a sensible builder, and we have a foolish builder. Every one of us falls into one of these two categories. And don't get nervous. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know if I ask, are you a foolish builder? You're not going to raise your hand. Okay? But you decide for yourself based on what Jesus is talking about. He's basically saying to us, there are two kinds of builders and not all builders are the same. You know, around Gwinnett County, there's a company called John Whelan. They have a very high reputation for building very good homes. You know? And what happens is, if your house is built by those guys, guess what? It's usually a little bit more expensive than maybe the one down the road. And there's a reason for it. Because those guys have a reputation. Are you with me? And so, the question is, what kind of builders are we? There's a show I love to watch on TV every once in a while on HGTV. It's called Homes on Homes. It's this guy comes in and he basically finds all the problems in your house. Okay? Believe me, I am not tempted to call him up. Because if there's a problem with your house, I promise you, that guy will find it. And it's funny, a lot of times they will invite him in. And, you know, somebody say, we got some problems with the plumbing or, you know, we got some leakage somewhere. 9 times out of 10, he finds a lot more stuff wrong with your house that the original builders didn't do a great job. As a matter of fact, he will find, you know, the original builders cut a lot of corners. And all of a sudden, he comes in and fixes everything. And the cool part is, you don't pay for it. The show actually pays for it. That's why it's on TV. Okay? And again, I wonder how come they haven't called me yet, but they haven't called me yet. But you see, the story talks about how each house is built. The tests and challenges to which each house is subjected. Jesus talks about how the rain is going to come down, the streams will rise, and the winds are going to blow and beat against that house. Obviously, he's not talking about a physical building. He's talking about our lives. What are we building our lives on? That's the issue. That is the question. Note, again, it's not a question of if the storms are coming. They are coming. It's a question of when. He says the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Brothers and sisters, you and I are going to face challenges in life. We face so many already. The question is not whether you and I are going to go through hard times. The question is when they're going to happen. Are you with me? That's just life. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were talking. I was just trying to say, you know, I really thank God for my health. Here I am about to turn 50. A lot of my friends, my age and even older, some of them have battled cancer. I mean, one of my best friends right now is the evangelist in the church in Brooklyn, New York. And please be praying for him. He was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. They went in there, got everything out. He went through chemo, he went through radiation. You know, he went back for his checkup. His PSA count is still very high. And they can't find, they don't know where it's coming from. And so he called me the other day and says, you know, Rich, continue to pray for me because, you know, he looked at the doctor and said, give it to me straight. What's going on? And the doctor said, you know what? We don't know where this stuff is coming from. We need to do a bone scan. And he looked at him and said, if it's getting to your bone, you probably have 6 months to live. He's barely 50. And so I said that to say, you know what? We all have different challenges. I have my challenges. You probably have yours too. But see, these challenges are going to come. The question is, how are we going to deal with them? Jesus promises us that if we build our lives on Him and His Word, we will be able to withstand all these trials and hardships. That's the promise. Amen? You know, there's a very big difference between the way they build homes in Tokyo, Japan, and Atlanta, Georgia. Okay? Now, in Tokyo, in Japan, they're actually sitting on two plates of the earth. It's very prone to earthquakes. And so, you better believe that the code in which they use to erect buildings is very different from, for instance, what we do over here. Are you with me? This high school beautiful art was built to a certain code. They just didn't come in and slap, you know, a bunch of bricks or whatever together. It doesn't work that way. You got to build it according to code. In Japan, like I said, where they have earthquakes, they build them in such a way where there are joints in some of these columns, such that when the earthquake comes, the house just literally shakes. And that's why things don't break. Now, again, even in that situation, you will find houses that crumble. Are you with me? But the question is, what kind of materials are we building our lives on? Are you and I building on solid ground? Or are we building on sand, like it talks about in the passage? Each of us, believe it or not, we are building a life. We are going to have ups and downs. And eventually, when we live this life, we're going to face judgment. The question is, will your life stand up? Like I said, what are some of these storms? We got temptation. We got trials. We got financial setbacks. We have illnesses. Even loss of loved ones. That's just life. I know we want all of this stuff not to happen in our lives. That's going to happen one of these days. It's called heaven. Okay? It's not here. Some people say, well, you know, earth is like heaven. No, it's not. The Bible talks about where you and I are going to a place where there will be no more crying, no more sickness, no more pain, no more agony. Are you with me? And it's not here. It's heaven. You and I are going to have to wait for it. We need to continue to live our lives based on what Jesus teaches so that we will get there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, you can write this down. Man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. Every single one of us will face judgment. And the cool thing I like about this passage is, you know what? This all depends on what I'm doing, what I'm building my life on. Not what my spouse is doing, not what my friends are doing, not even what my children are doing or not doing. It's me. So if my life crumbles, guess what? I really don't have anybody else to blame except myself. Are you with me? You see, a sensible builder builds with foresight because he knows there's going to be challenges ahead. It's going to rain. The wind is going to blow. And so you build with foresight. The question is, will your life stand the test of time and judgment? You see, a foolish builder, according to Jesus, is a hearer and not a doer. Hold your place in Matthew chapter 7 and look in James chapter 1. You know I'm going there. This is the quintessential verse about also not just hearing the word, but being a doer. In James chapter 1, in verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Amen? This is a very encouraging passage. You want blessings? Leave out the scriptures. Do what God says. It's not rocket science. You see, a lot of times we want the blessings, but we don't want to listen to the Bible. We don't want to live our lives according to the scriptures. God cannot bless you. It's not possible. It comes by obeying the scriptures. It comes by doing what the Bible teaches. You see, like a lot of us, I grew up believing in God and going to church. And I'll never forget 27 years ago, really sitting down and reading this book seriously for the first time. Again, when I was in high school, we actually had a subject called Bible knowledge. You had to study this to pass a test, which I did. But I was a hearer of the word, I was not a doer. And I realized, you know what, Richard, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a great life on this earth, I need to become somebody who knows, who doesn't just hear the word, but is living according to it. Like I've said before, Sunday morning I was at church. Every Sunday. Now don't ask me where I was or what I was doing Saturday night. But Sunday morning I was there. And I would go for confession. I'd go for confession. I'd walk away. I remember something I didn't confess. And I'd go back into the little booth. That was the way it was. I was not a doer of the word. The question is, are you a doer of the word? Are you just hearing? Because not only doers of the word are blessed by God, and only doers of the word will eventually one day make it to heaven. Before he gets to this point, he's already said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Like Steve reminded us this morning, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name even perform miracles? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back, when the trumpet sounds, or when you die, whichever comes first, most of this world are going to be in shock. That's what the Bible teaches. This is why I become a preacher. Because I thought to myself, you know what? I can't sit here and be making money while people are not living according to this. Are you with me? Amen. And believe it or not, we are all preachers in here. Yeah. Right. Okay? Right. Now, amen. The Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett pays me to do this, and I'm grateful. But you're a preacher too. You just don't get paid for it. Okay? Now I'll buy you lunch and all that, but, you know. You got your job at your company, and that's great. But we're all preachers. Because it's about doing, not just about hearing. You see, one of the awesome things about being a Christian is not just being able to say you're a Christian, but to let your life speak. Where people realize, you know what, hey, this guy claims he's a Christian. Man, he doesn't lie. He doesn't curse. And I used to curse like a parrot before I became a Christian. He doesn't smoke. He's not cheating on his wife, or he's not cheating on his taxes. He's actually trying to live this out. I had never seen that before. I felt, well, you know what? We're all a bunch of hypocrites, so I might as well join them. But finally, when I found men and women who are not just claiming to be Christians, who are actually living this out, I said, sign me up. Amen. Why? Because they were not just hearers of the word, they were doers. And there's a big difference. There is a big, big difference. You see, the final storm you and I are going to face is called judgment. You know, you may ask yourself, why should I listen to Jesus and obey them? I'm glad you asked that question. Number one, remember who is talking. This is the highest authority in the universe. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the commander-in-chief, so to speak. When the commander-in-chief gives orders,
The rest of us, we obey.
Are you with me? That's the number one reason why we need to listen to this. He's the commander in chief. All things were created by him and for him. That's what the Bible teaches. Very, very clearly. Amen? You see, he's the highest authority in the universe. And he's telling us, don't just listen to what I say. Do what I say. You know, a lot of us in here were in the military at some point. Even those of you that have a job, there's a hierarchy in that job. There's a guy called the CEO, the chief executive officer. Okay? And he may be your boss, or you may be several steps way down somewhere, you know, on the totem pole, but you're in there. Whatever that guy says, you better do it if you want to keep your job. Are you listening to me? Why? Because he's the highest authority in the place. God is the same way. God is the highest authority in the universe. When God speaks, we need to listen. And like I shared before, I mean, if you think about it, you and I as human beings, we're very arrogant people. The winds and the waves obey God. And you and I sometimes, you know, we stick our noses up at him. Like, I'm not going to do that. You're going to pay for that one of these days. Not only in this life, but in the next. You will pay a price. You see, all these things are here for our benefit. For instance, when the Bible says, you know what, you're not married to somebody, you got no business sleeping with them. That's in the Bible for a reason. God is not trying to steal our fun. I've been married now to a Christian for 20 years, and I'm very, very thankful. I got no eyes for any other woman. Never have, never will. I don't look at other women. It's not even a temptation. Why? Because God says, you know what? If you go commit adultery, he's going to leave you in a heartbeat. Obviously, I don't want that to happen. Are you with me? You know, some of us were still single. What is it that attracts you to the opposite sex? Really? What's the attraction? My Bible says very clearly, a Christian marries a Christian. 1 Corinthians 7:39. You say, well, I'm just dating them. My question is, what's the attraction? If you can't marry them, why are you going out with them? What is the attraction? You're asking for trouble.
Yep, that's right.
Amen?
Amen?
You know, we got to tell the truth all the time. I was driving along Lawrenceville Highway the other day, and I saw a building. They were actually on the news. These guys will tell you to bring in your W-2s and, you know, fill this out and fill this out and fill this out. And people were getting money that didn't belong to them. I said, wait a second. That's the building over there. That was on the news. And people think they can get away with stuff like this. You are going to pay a price. Maybe not today. Maybe not next week. But you will. We all will. Amen? He's the highest authority. We need to listen to him. Number two, he created us. That's what it says in Hebrews 1 from verses 15 to 18. All things were created by him and for him. You see, number three, his words serve also as a guide in this life and ultimately back to him. That's why you and I need to listen to the scriptures. That's why you and I need to listen to Jesus. And the most important reason why we need to listen to Jesus is in John 12. Go ahead and turn there. I'm almost done. John chapter 12. This is still Jesus speaking in verse 47. It says, as for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world but to save it. If the verse ended there, you and I, man, we should be shouting hallelujah. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is what the Father has told me to say. Like you've heard me say so many times, when it's all said and done, brothers and sisters, this is the final examination. This is it. It's open book. If you and I have lived our lives according to this, we have absolutely nothing to worry about. If you haven't, you better get very nervous. Because the Bible predicts and says that, you know what, you will beg and God will not listen. Because at that point, it's too late. Amen? It's awesome to be a Christian. It's awesome to live life based on what this is saying. I think sometimes have this thing backwards. A lot of people have this backwards, thinking, well, Christianity is for, you know what, it's boring. You don't have anything else to do in life, then go become a Christian. Oh, no. You got it backwards. This is where the fun is at. This is where life is truly at. Knowing God. Does that mean we're not going to have challenges? Of course we will. But this is where the real life is really at. The peace of mind. I mean, you look at our world today, especially in America, you notice people with money and good looks, they're some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet. What's that guy's name that did Mission Impossible? Tom Cruise. He got a divorce the other day. That was his second one, by the way. Now, Tom Cruise is a very good-looking dude. And he's making a boatload of money. But he's not a happy dude. His wife, pretty attractive lady. Why isn't that enough? Because just like a house built on, on sand, on the outside it looks good. But the question is, what's the foundation built on? And it's very easy to watch that kind of stuff on TV and say, man, I wish I had Tom Cruise's money. Really? Let me tell you what happens when you get money. All of a sudden, people will start to sue you. They will find something that you have done or not done, and they will sue you because they know you got money. Because believe it or not, most cases don't go to court. They're settled out of court. You know, all of a sudden, relatives you never even knew you had, all of a sudden they'll show up. Yeah. Why? Because now you have money. And so be careful what you ask for. All of a sudden, your neighbors that have never said a word to you, all of a sudden they show up. Oh, I'm your neighbor from down the road. They found out you came into some money. And I'm saying all this stuff because, again, like Steve said this morning, you can't do both. You got to choose one. Amen? God is the most important thing. You know, life is hard, John Wayne said. It's even harder if you're stupid. Think about it. Life is hard. Say, it's even harder if you're stupid. You say, Rich, how can you say the word stupid? Stupid is in the Bible. Proverbs 12:1. Go read it. It's a very harsh word, but it's in the scriptures. You see, like Moses said in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, write this down. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I promise you, your sin will find you out. Numbers 32, verse 23. It was Moses who said it. Your sin will find you out. What your life is based on is going to be exposed. Sooner or later, it's going to be exposed. Amen? But the exciting thing is when we build our lives on Jesus, it will stand. We need to take to heart his sayings about where our treasures really lie. We need to really pay attention to him talking about you and him sick. All of us seeking him first, making him the priority. Is God really the most important thing in your life? Do you read your Bible every day? Again, you can't practice what you don't know. Hello? You're busy going to work. You're busy running around. Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? First things first. Christianity is a relationship with the Creator. It's not going to church on Sunday. It's not going to church on midweek. Amen? It's making God the priority. And I want to say, a lot of us, we've repented of coming to church late. Keep that up. Okay? You know, that's a little pet peeve of mine. I look forward to Sunday morning. We get to all worship God together. That's why I get up early. Other things I can be late for, but not this. And we've repented. Amen? Some of you, I still notice you come in 10:15, whatever. You know you. I see you. You need to change that. You're not here to worship me. Amen? Oh, I didn't get to sleep in. When you get to heaven, you can sleep all you want. I think we're going to be so fired up, we're not even going to have time to sleep. We're going to be so amazed about what the whole place. I don't think we're going to want to close our eyes. Amen? Oh, Sunday is my last day. You know, that's the only time I get to sleep in. Well, hang in there. Give it 60, 70 years, whichever one the Lord decides to give you. And then you can go sleep on the other side. Amen? But Sunday morning is for you and I to get here early and to worship God. And so I'm asking you this morning, how smart are you? Are you really smart? Have you dug deep? Is your life based on the scriptures? Or are you just playing church? We got only one chance at this life. Brothers and sisters, we can't afford to mess this thing up. I think about heaven every day. Every single day. That's my destination. That's your destination. I can't get sidetracked by the things of this world. No matter how bad it is, you know what? I'm going to heaven. Just the thought of it puts a smile to my face. No matter what happens, you know what? My name is written in the book of life. So this storm I'm going through, God is going to help me through it. Amen? So I want to encourage you. You say, well, where do I start? Get into one of the Gospels. Take a look at Jesus. Watch the way he says things. Watch the way he interacts with people. Because remember, that's who you're trying to be like. That's who you're meant to be following. A Christian is a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. You say, should I start in Genesis? No. Because I promise you, by the time you get to Leviticus, you'll stop reading. Because believe it or not, the entire Old Testament just points to Christ. And that's why I'm encouraging you to start in the Gospels. Just pick one. Start in chapter 1 and just start reading. Start getting to know this God. Amen? Amen. When you finish the Gospels, then go to the book of Acts, which is basically the history of the early church. Are you with me? You know, you got an assignment now for the next 2 months. But get into the scriptures. Because that's what's going to make the difference. How you and I get through in this life and eventually pass judgment one day. Are you smart? I believe you are. But it's based on living our lives based on what the Bible teaches, that we're not just sharers of the word, but we're doing what it says. Amen? Amen. You know that show on TV, and this is where I'm going to close. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? It's embarrassing. You see guys that are now, you know, my age and older. At one time, they used to know all that stuff. I don't watch that show anymore. I'm sitting there going, I went to school, man. I got a few degrees hanging on my wall. Of course I know the answer to that. And you see these little kids, they come in, you know, they write the answer down, they hit the thing very quickly. And I'm going, wait a second. Now, is it A or is it B? I used to know this. Only to find out, yeah, I missed it again. Again, it's easy to be sitting at home and doing that stuff. I understand when you're standing there, when the stuff is being recorded, it is very challenging. You're not going to see me on that show because I'm not going to embarrass myself. Okay? I can promise you that. But the question is, are we smart as Christians? This is it, folks. Jesus said all that stuff in the Sermon on the Mount to say this. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. God bless.
Let's stand for a closing prayer. Please stand. Father God in heaven, we are truly amazed by you, Father. Thank you so much for loving us and taking care of us. God, you truly have blessed us. God, thank you so much for the word this morning, Father. I pray that we all would be doers, Father, and not just hearers. God, be with us this week. Help us to love you. Help us to draw close to you. God, we pray a special prayer for Melvin Jordan this morning, Father. I pray you be with him, heal him, bring him back home safely. God, as we leave this place, God, I pray you be with us. Help us have a great week. Help us to share what we have learned today. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.